Good morning. It is a Wednesday morning.
We are with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, I listen to the BBC every morning as I drive into the station. And this morning they were all over this dust-up between the president and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Speaker Pelosi reacting to President Donald Trump calling her a sick woman after she called him out for taking hydroxychloroquine and attacked him as morbidly obese. Pelosi quipped that Trump needs to recognize, quote, his words weigh a ton.
That's very funny. He is, of course, responsible for the level of rhetoric that we have. I mean, after all, she's finally getting it. She's saying the way you deal with this guy is you meet him on his battlefield. There's no other way to do it. She doesn't say forbidden words. I mean, there's no fat shaming in that. She doesn't say things like fatty or the rest of that stuff, but she uses medically clinical terms to describe the fact that he is the president of the United States. He's making a major error because he puts the whole country in danger when the president puts himself in danger. There's no other way around it. So she makes the point about morbidly obese. Some of her followers and others take great glee in that. Because, you know, here's a guy who's saying, I'm going to take a medicine which can cause heart arrhythmias. And we know from his medical appointments that he has a heart problem. So she's pointing out quite correctly that he puts Americans in danger. And there is certainly proof of this because people who are buying this medicine are following him. And there will be deaths as a result of it.
Meanwhile, while President Trump is calling the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sick, Joe Biden, a former vice president, current presidential candidate, said it's sick and blasted Donald Trump Jr.'s pedophile jokes. It was during a Yahoo News virtual town hall. Biden said it's sick, but he is his father's son. Over the weekend, Donald Trump Jr. posted and reposted memes on his social media channels portraying the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee as a pedophile. Trump Jr. insisted he was joking in the post, which considered it part of an alligator saying to Biden, in a while, pedophile.
Well, of course. You know, these guys are disgusting. They always say, I was joking, I was wrong. We saw it from Mike Pompeo, who said that no plan was left by Obama for pandemics and then had to take it back. You know, this is a new low in American politics. You know, David, once you put something like this out there, somebody will believe it. And it is the height of irresponsibility to do it. I get messages on my email from Donald Trump Jr., you know, delete, 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 delete. But they are this insidious kind of thing that you win an election by lying, lying through your teeth, being a lying, lying, lying liar. The spawn of the president is basically doing the same thing that his father does. Awful.
Meantime, Biden has won the Oregon Democratic presidential primary, clearly the nominee going forward, and everyone's sort of waiting. How important is this vice presidential pick in terms of rousing the base?
Well, as you know, David, nature abhors a vacuum. And the vacuum in this case is the naming of the vice president. It can either mean a great deal or it can mean very little. Look, one of the things that people are watching for is whether Biden will signal the people who supported Bernie Sanders that they will have a progressive vice presidential candidate who can carry their flag and who can make them go out and vote, or at least help them go out and vote. Because this election could be won by just a few votes, as the last one was. And even if you win the massive number of American voters, you got to do it in the right place. So part of the decision will be where the vice president comes from. Part of it will be how important it is that the vice president is either a progressive or a moderate. And, you know, this is not a young man, Joe Biden. So prudence would dictate that you pick somebody who can take over, who's had that kind of experience. So you have a woman of color, Kamala Harris, from California, but she's from California, and that's a blue state. On the other hand, you have several other candidates who come from Midwestern states, and that's a possibility, too.
The Democratic primary in New York, scheduled for June 23rd, will definitely take place now, Alan. The state's Democratic Party leadership gave up its attempt to cancel the presidential primary Tuesday. It did so after the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals agreed that the primary must include the contest over the state's objections. Supporters of Bernie Sanders and Andrew Yang had challenged the cancellation of the primary.
Well, look, David, as you know, we've been talking about this for a little while now. I think it was a mistake for the state committee. I assume that the governor had something to do with that. I think that the state committee isn't going to go against the governor, and said people shouldn't be getting together in small places, and therefore we want to protect them. The minute you protect people from voting, you've got a very serious situation. And, David, as I've been saying all along, you set up a precedent for the president of the United States doing the same thing if he's losing in his election. So it was a bad idea, and the governor has obviously, and his state committee, have come around to where they ought to be. The idea is, if you're going to have a primary, it should probably be done by mail, it should probably be done by computer, but if you're not going to do that, then you just got to open the doors.
Stay with that theme. All 50 U.S. states have eased restrictions, says the New York Times, but rules vary widely. More changes took effect Wednesday, but vast discrepancies remain as states forge ahead after shutdowns. We know now here in New York's capital region cleared to start phase one of COVID-19 reopening today. But lots of misinformation out there. New Jersey, other states fighting that. We're learning about Georgia and Florida, Alan, that opened earlier. Question now over public access to their COVID-19 data. It's not a unified response for sure.
Well, if you're Georgia or Florida, and if you're lying about your COVID cases, shame on you, because certainly somebody's going to figure it out and you're going to look awful bad. Because the Georgia people have been saying, we have not noticed the spike. Now, there are those people who think that there is a spike and that Georgia isn't being forthright about it. That is a very stupid thing to do. So the point is, we have to have accurate information. If we don't, what is anything worth?
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, with us.